Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of The Cave Show. It is hump day. Midway through this thing, y'all. A lot of stuff to get into today. A lot of stuff to talk about. So up in Green Bay, one of the assistants had a tweet. I don't know if that tweet was a good idea. Let's talk about that a little bit. Kevin Durant is on record saying what I've been saying for the last few years. Now maybe somebody will listen to me. The effort the Suns put out last night, inexcusable. Inexcusable. And I'm going to talk about that as well. Also, we have joining the show today about 1:15. Sean Sierra, co-host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show in Chicago. Got some question about the Bulls and the Bears. And I have the answers. So we're going to get into that as well. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. And we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona. Right at Chandler Heights at Alma School. That's 4901 South Alma School, to be exact. Get in there, check them out, let them know the PLR of The Cave Show sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. So get in there, become a club member, get you a locker, backs directly up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. You can stay there, watch one of the many televisions they have. There's always something on. There's always a game on. They have all the league tickets and passes, so you can sit there and watch your favorite team play. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Chandler Heights and Alma School in Chandler, Arizona. And again, let them know PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off any purchase that you have. Welcome to The Cave Show. This is PLR. Like I said, a lot of stuff to get into. You heard the topics. Call-in number is always the same, 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey long line. You want to talk about that or anything else, any other topics I have, please feel free to do so. I'm going to open the phones up now since we have a guest calling in about 10 minutes or so. Number again, 917-889-7828. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Paul, it's Lou.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Well, one thing that you, I don't think you did mention, unless I came in just a second late, the Lakers have been surging lately.
The Lakers are surging. I think they're benefiting from a weak part of their schedule as well. I don't think that hurts them. They have the greatest player on the team. In the world on the team. And I've said this, and I'm going to stick by this. I think they are battling somewhere between a 7 and 8 seed when it all shakes down. Golden State is going to be Golden State. Denver has proven to be an incredible team. They're taking nobody by surprise, anybody that watches basketball. But the Lakers have some issues with who's going to be the number two guy. One night it's one guy, one night it's the next guy, one night it's this guy. And I don't know if the young guys are really, truly developing under LeBron. And that's one of the things I was going to get into unpack a little bit later. But I'll do it now. Kevin Durant stated what I've been saying forever. It's going to be hard to find someone that wants to play, a superstar that wants to come and play alongside LeBron James. And I've been saying that forever. And it's tough because – when you get the glory, he gets the glory, and you kind of get the pat on the shoulder, oh, good job. But when things go wrong, you get all of the blame to go with that. And if you're a young guy like a Kawhi Leonard, who actually has Toronto playing the best basketball in the NBA right now, and they're looking more and more like, a team that's going to win the East, why would he go play second fiddle? If you're Kevin Durant and you already have two titles in Golden State and you're still going to be the favorite to get another one this year, why would you subjugate yourself to that secondary role? There was a guy in Cleveland already in that position, and he wanted out. So I just don't I don't see it. Now, the Lakers are five games above 500, sitting at the fifth seed currently. And even in the fifth seed right now,
there's only two games separating them.
I was about to say that. There's only two games separating them from the eighth seed. And like I said, the West is very contentious. It's going to be a tight race all the way through, with the exception of the Phoenix Suns. And if you think the Houston Rockets are going to stay under 500 all year, or the San Antonio Spurs are going to stay under 500 all year, it's not going to happen. So the Lakers are a good team. They're a good, solid team. But they're not the Nuggets. They're not the Warriors. And they're, to me right now, they're not even the Thunder, who, if if Robertson comes back, that's even going to make them better defensively. So they're not one of those top echelon teams. But we'll see. We shall see. They are the Lakers. They do have LeBron. You've seen also, you've had Magic come out and say, we're not Cleveland. We don't want what happened in Cleveland to happen in Cleveland with his usage rate. You've heard Kobe make comments about the way that he's going to be used. It's a different beast when you deal with LeBron. And it's not a bad beast, it's just a different beast.
Yeah. So, in other words, it's good, but LeBron isn't going to be able to carry the team all by himself.
He can't, especially in the West. He can't carry the team all by himself. There are too many talented teams in the West for him to be able to do that. And even if you say, okay, well, he can't carry it by himself, let's get him some help, you almost have to trade for somebody under contract to get him that help, because I don't see these other top echelon guys. If you're the best player on your team and you're thought of as being a top 10 player in the NBA, do you want to go and play second fiddle?
I wouldn't.
I mean, really, stop and think about it. Paul George was headed to L.A., and all of a sudden LeBron comes. He doesn't go to L.A. He stays in Oklahoma City. Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. Do you honestly think, with Kawhi entering the last year of his contract, if he said to the if he had said, you know what, Toronto, I'm telling you now, you bring me here. After this year is up, I guarantee you I'm leaving. I am not staying here. Do you think they would have made that trade?
Yeah, so, probably not.
So there are guys that just don't want that anymore. It's a different NBA. This isn't the NBA when LeBron went to Cleveland 5 years ago, or went to Miami, you know, 9 years ago. It's not the same. Young stars are different. And it's proven that with LeBron, as great as he is, two superstars, you, him, and someone else, are great with a bunch of role players and a third person that can come up. That third superstar doesn't do well in the box with him. Didn't happen with Chris Bosh. Didn't happen with Kevin Love. And that third one just doesn't do well. So you got to develop someone. But it's hard to develop someone, one of these young guys, when LeBron has the ball all the time. So the Lakers are in a tough position. They wanted that star power. Lakers have always had star power. Go back, George Mikan, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Kareem, Shaq, Kobe, Magic. They've always had star power. When Kobe left, they lost star power. So I understand their need to want star power back. But now you got your star power.
Yeah,
but are you going to find another star? Are you going to find another star power to go with him? Mm-hmm. Because the Lakers, like the Yankees, like Notre Dame, Like every team that has, through the ages, has this quote-unquote mythological ideal. If you're not winning titles, it doesn't matter. Remember, this is the same Laker team one time where in the Western Conference Finals they won. One guy was real happy, and Magic looked at him and said, "Yo, man, we don't celebrate conference finals. We celebrate championships."
That's true.
So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Yeah,
so
we go from one thing to another, and it looks like Ohio State's going through a fallout right now because now two players have decommitted themselves in the wake of Mayor's announcement of retiring.
And that's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Ohio State has been a top school, Latin top recruits, for a long time, and that's going to continue to happen. They had top recruits, obviously, under Earl Bruce. They had top recruits under John Cooper. They're going to have top recruits. They had top recruits under Urban Meyer, and they're going to continue to get top recruits. Ohio State University, the Buckeyes, are like an Alabama, like a Oklahoma, like a Texas. They will always, that name will always do certain things when it comes to football in that state. When you think of Ohio, and we can both be honest and call a spade, you don't think of the Browns and Cincinnati and the pro teams like that. Ohio State football is big. Ohio State puts 100,000 people butts in seats every single week.
Uh-huh.
And you know that if you're going to Ohio State, you're probably going to make it to the next level. Day is the same guy that coached his team when Urban was out serving the suspension, and they didn't miss a beat. They're going to be fine. There's always going to be a kid that wanted to go play for one coach in particular. Coach is gone. Now he wants to, he wants to decommit and go somewhere else. I would be willing to bet dollars to donuts that when it all shakes down, Ohio State is somewhere in the top 10 of recruiting for the year when it's all said and done.
Okay.
Still Ohio State. You know
that's
that.
True.
You're a Yankees guy. And you know how success rolls, you know how it all goes down, and you can say what you want. The Yankees will always have a certain moniker of respect because they are the Yankees. Doesn't matter who's managing it, doesn't matter who's the GM, they're still the Yankees, same with Ohio State.
Yeah, I figured that, but you know, you just think now with Maya retiring and people are just cutting out. I mean, what, they don't trust anybody else? They'd rather just have Mayor coach, otherwise that wouldn't have happened.
Well, no, it's just coaches. If you were corporate America, and like I said 1,000 times, I did for
right.
20 years. I have a boss. I had a boss, a senior VP, that left. And when he left, about 3 or 4 people ended up going to work for the company he went to work for. The company that we left was not a bad company all of a sudden. It's just that his presence is going to bring some people with him. But at the same time, there was like 20 of us. All 20 didn't leave. Only 3 left. 17 stayed. So it's going to be the same with recruits. I go out and recruit 20 guys. I decide not to go there. 2 may say, well, you know what? I was going because of him. But the other 18 is still there. Same thing. Oh, no difference.
Yeah, I get it.
No difference.
No, I suppose not.
Like I said, there's only one person that's really happy that he's gone, and that's Jimmy Harbaugh. He's like, crap, maybe I can beat him now. Because his Michigan Wolverines cannot beat Ohio State at all.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
I guess.
I'm sure he's in Ann Arbor dancing around in a circle. So
yep.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So, but look, my friend, I got a guest calling in,
right.
And I'm going to jump to that. Hopefully, I hear from you tomorrow, Thursday. We have Carlos Brooks calling in tomorrow, former Arizona Cardinal. He's going to talk to him about these Cardinals versus his Cardinals.
I wonder what he thinks of that. Oh boy.
Exactly. Hey, well, listen, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in, and have a good day.
You got it.
All right, thanks, Luke. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. So you all know I'm from Chicago. Make no secrets about it. If you cut me open, I'd bleed that Chicago Bulls red or that blue and orange from the Bears. And then, of course, I'm going to say it again, the White Sox. But, you know, I have an affinity for some of the Arizona teams like the Suns. And I love my ASU Sun Devils. Fork them. I'm a Sun Devil for life. But I want to know what's going on in Chicago. I want to know what's going on with my Bulls. I want to know what's going on with Garpax. I want to know why they finally came to their senses and they got a third of the firings right, in my opinion. The Bears are good. Everything on that end is right. But I'm going to talk to the person that knows exactly what's going on in the city. This is the man, y'all. If you're not listening to this show every day, there's something wrong with you. It's Sean Sierra Coast of the Sean and Maya in the Morning show in Chicago. Sean Sierra is online on the Kerry Lackey Law line with us. Welcome to the KSO PLR. What's up, Sean? How you feel, buddy?
What's going on, Papa? How we doing?
Oh, man. I'm good if I'm looking at football, and I'm horrific if I'm watching basketball.
Man, let me tell you, it's a tale of two cities when it comes – tale of two sports when it comes to that, the Bears and Bulls, man. Let me tell you, things are good with the Bears. I'm a little upset with that loss this past week, but we'll get over it. We got a big game this Sunday night. And then the Bulls, they're just in a total state of disarray right now.
Sean, I watched that John Paxson press conference, and I heard someone ask him, well, what happened? How come Gar Forman isn't here to do this? Is it because of his relationship with the mayor, with Fred Hoiberg? And Paxson really kind of scoffed at it and said, you know, I'm the voice of the Bulls and yada, yada, yada. Sean, this was just a bad hire from the beginning, was it not?
Yeah, man, they didn't. This was a horrible hire. They hired Yes Man. This guy had no chance to succeed, and it's unfortunate that this guy got hired because he's actually a really, really nice guy. But they wanted him to run Hoiball, you know, space and pace. Then they don't give him the team to run space and pace because you say you want to get younger and more athletic, and then you sign Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. That's not younger and more athletic. Okay. Then everybody gets injured. You know, last year you trade for Zach LaVine, who's injured. You get Larry Marketing, Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn gets hurt. You never really had a chance to see it through. And then this year they made that call. But I will tell you this. Hoiberg was definitely the wrong hire. He's not a leader of men. He's a good leader of alpha males. He's a leader of college kids, 17, 18-year-old kids, and 21-year-old kids. He's definitely a leader of those guys, but definitely alpha males. He's got some issues being a leader of those type of men.
You know, when I saw Jimmy Butler, he asked him for a timeout or something when Jimmy was there, and you could read Jimmy's lips say, beat no, and Hoiberg did nothing. And then I saw this season, Zach LaVine, Hoiberg called Wendell Carter up to set a pick, and Zach LaVine waved him off. And then he called him up again to call the pick, and Zach LaVine waved him off. And on this show, I said, at that point, I would have done one or two things. I would have either taken a timeout and said, run the freaking play that I called, young man. Or after the game was over, I would have said, you're not starting the next game because I specifically called a play for you and you didn't run it. And when he didn't do either of those, following what happened with Jimmy Butler, I was like, this guy – the team has no respect for him. He has to go.
You're right. When Jimmy Butler called him out his first year there, Hoiberg's first year, he needed to suspend him. All right. That's at that particular point. you're from Chicago, you know, they punked them. They punked them, and that was it, because veterans and players, they're gonna push you as far as you can go, to see where they can go, I should say. And Jimmy said, I'm the big dog on this team. Let me say, you know, we need to be coached harder. We need this, whatever. You know, that I think that's what it was. We need to be coached harder. You know, you don't put your public business out in the street like that. You know, he could have said, hey, you know what, we're sitting Jimmy Butler for down for a game or two just for conduct detrimental to the team, and then that sends shockwaves to the rest of the organization, the rest of the team, saying, okay, this dude's he's no one to mess with. So as soon as that happened a few years ago, I knew at that particular point he was done. I knew he had no respect. And Zach LaVine earlier this season, he came on and he said something like, they need to call sets for, you know, certain people need to get more sets, meaning he needs some offensive sets to get the ball toward the end of the game. Wendell Carter Jr. this year said it, no leadership, without throwing him under the bus. He threw him under the bus, just saying there's no leaders on here. We don't have any leadership, no one to look up to. This is a rookie. So it was just time for him to go. It was unfortunate. Like I said, Fred's a nice guy. He was a bad hire. He really, really, really got set up to fail.
Yeah, from the beginning. I'm the Kerry Lackula line here on the Cave Show with PLR. Sean Sierra, host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show in Chicago. What's next for the Bulls, Sean? What's the next move?
Well, you got to see what you got here. It seems like you got a guy who's very similar to the guy that they let go before, Hoiberg, and Tom Thibodeau. All right, this guy, you know, Jim Boylan has his resume is very impressive. He was with Rudy Tomjanovich in Houston, won two rings with him between the Bulls, three-peats. He coached under Judd Heathcote in Michigan State, Tom Izzo at Michigan State, Greg Popovich down in San Antonio. And if you notice all the names that I mentioned, those are guys who control their teams. There's no question,
right?
Every single coach I mentioned that he's been under, it's their show. And that's the kind of guy that this guy is. He's it's my show. I run it. I think he's got the respect. He's got the ear of the players, because it's easy when you're an assistant coach for the players to come talk to you. So he's built a confidence level. He's got a trust and rapport with those guys. Like, I mean, just look at yesterday. Jabari Parker's playing defense. That's unheard of here in Chicago. He's playing defense. So he's made inroads with this guy, with him and everyone else. He just came up short. A couple of bad mistakes here and there toward the end, you know, caused them to lose that game to last night. So I think it'll be okay. And then you're starting to get more all the players back. You're going to get Bobby Portis back. You're going to get Chris Dunn back. I'm really liking what's going to happen. And hopefully with this old school coach who has the ear of these younger players, hope it turns around.
You know, sometimes, and I lied, one more quick question. Sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. And when I look at the Bulls roster, I think this job, if he keeps it great, if they go elsewhere, it seems like a job that would really be a good job, because they can get under the cap quickly with some of the guys they've paid a lot of money to. They're not really crushing the cap. I know Jabari's on a team-friendly contract, but when I look at this roster and I see a Wendell Carter Jr., a Jabari Parker, a Lauri Markkanen, and Bobby Portis, I see a lot of guys playing kind of the same thing. Like, there has to be one of these guys inevitably that's not going to be there. Which guy do you think that'll be?
I don't know. I don't know if any of them are going to leave. I think, you know what, because you have so many guys, you have guys who can do multiple things. You guys can dribble, guys who can shoot, guys who can rebound. You have a lot of the similar type guys. You can push them on. Like Jabari Parker came off the bench yesterday, you know, and that was one of the things. I'll tell you what, you keep all of them. I think we have it's gonna remind me of Rick Pitino's Kentucky team, where five in, five out. Where you can have, and there's not a big drop off, because you have on the second unit, you have Denzel Valentine out of Michigan State, you have Bobby Portis, you have Jabari Parker, you have Antonio Blakeney, and then you have Wendell Carter Jr. Well, whether or not he starts or not depends, but that's four people right there. Those guys can do a lot, and with the talent that they have, that's probably a very poor starting five of a regular team. So to have these guys going up against second team players, I think it's it could be another bench mob 3.0 like the Bulls have had in years past.
Good point. Very good point. Online with us on the Kelly Lackey Law Line, Sean and Sierra, host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show in Chicago. So I spoke with you about the Bears when they came out here to play the Cardinals, and that's before the Cardinals turned into a complete dumpster fire. And Bears got rolling. They started slow, but they got rolling. That defense got going. And I look at this team with Chase Daniels as you got 1-1 out of your backup quarterback, and hopefully Mitch will be back this week. I think they're still up fine. If, and I do a power ranking, I'm still having them in the top 10. I have no worry about this team, even with Chase Daniels being there. Like you said, this weekend's game is a big game against the Rams. But I see the Bears handling this game in Chicago, in that weather, with that defense, and their ability to run the ball. Am I off with thinking that, or am I just living in fandom here?
No, you're not off at all. Here's why. This is going to be the toughest defense that LA has to face. You know, everyone talks about the Rams offense. Everyone talks about the Rams defense and, you know, potential, most likely the player, defensive player of the year and Aaron Donald. You know, you still got Sue over there. You just got Dante Fowler. You got, you know, pass rushers galore. Bears got a pretty damn good defense as well. Their cornerbacks are playing at an unbelievable, at a Pro Bowl level. Kyle Fuller with a few interceptions. Prince Mukamura. And the guy who's really stepped up is Bryce Callahan, the slot corner. So now you got three corners to cover three receivers and who do it at a high level. So this is going to be a pretty tough one. Then with that pass rush, if you don't double-team Khalil Mack, you're going to have a long day. And if you do, well, then that's going to leave. Here's, I'm going to tell you who the key to the game is going to be. Our nose guard, Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman will be the key of the game because you know what? You can get pressure from the outside. The quarterback can step up, move to the right or left, depending on where the pressure is coming from. You know, just replace the pressure wherever it comes from. When a pocket collapses in the middle from inside, there's nowhere to step up. You can't – oftentimes you can't follow through. If Eddie Goldman can collapse that pocket and get in Jared Goff's face, that's going to have a big impact on Jared Goff. Because Jared Goff's not the most mobile guy in the world. So he's not going to be running around like Mitch or Michael Vick anytime soon. So if he can collapse that pocket, that means that ball is going to come out a little sooner. It's going to come out with not enough oomph. And I'll tell you what, our cornerbacks are ball hawks, man. And not to mention our free safety, Eddie Jackson, who's got 5 touchdowns in a season and a half. He's got 5 defensive touchdowns. That ball comes out a tad bit soon before it's supposed to. Watch out. There could be some pick sixes. So this is going to be a tough defense that the Rams offense has got to face. They're toughest to this point. And I think, you know what, the Bears are going to be all right. I think they can handle them as well. I'm not saying it's a gimme. They're going to blow them out. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is they have as good a shot to beat them as anyone. They're really pumped up for this game. It got flexed from 12 o'clock noon to Sunday night. They're pumped. The Bears are pumped. They're excited. As the Rams are one of the top teams in the NFC, if not the top team in the NFC, they're coming to the lakefront. The Bears are definitely ready and excited for this one.
In this game, am I far off from thinking they've pretty much chokehold this division? Because Minnesota has a tough game in Seattle, and I really don't think Minnesota's going to go up to Seattle and beat them. And if the Bears go ahead and win this game, hell, even if they lose this game, but especially if they win this game, would you pretty much say they've pretty much wrapped the division and now they should be setting their sights on securing a bye for the playoffs?
Yeah, you know what? That's why I was so disappointed in that loss on Sunday to the Giants, because everyone in the division lost. Had the Bears been able to pull it out against a very subpar New York Giants team, they would have gained another whole game on the Vikings, who were, I think, the 3.5 back, or 2.5 back, excuse me, because of their tie. It would have put them at 3.5 in front with 4 games to go. You know, that basically would have sealed the deal for the Bears. I think one more Bear win combined, one win or and a Minnesota loss or 2 Bear wins, it's game, set, match. The division's ours. But if they win this week, it'll give them a supreme confidence. One, because of the lead they'll have in the division, whether or not the Vikings win or not. But two, beating the top dog in the NFC, that's going to give them a whole bunch of confidence. And I don't know if they'll get the bye just because they have so many that the silly loss to New York really hurt them again. But if not, then at least they'll get a one home playoff game with a wild card.
Yeah, we both know no one wants to come to Chicago in January.
That's not
a place you want to play outdoors. And when you look at the two teams that would possibly come to Chicago if things shook out, the one team, honestly, that scares me the most that I don't think would be fazed by it would be Seattle. So I definitely want some separation because I really don't get the feeling Seattle's going to lose too many games. I want those other teams coming to Chicago. I want to see Philly in Chicago or Redskins or someone like that whose teams aren't quite the same. Now, as a Chicagoan, though, and I be honest with me, did you smile a little bit when things started blowing up in Green Bay? Because I did. I'm not going to lie. I was smiling a lot. The more they go awry, the bigger my smile gets.
Dude, I was doing a happy dance like I just won the lottery. Because, you know what, they've been a thorn in our side for so long. And anytime Green Bay loses, it's awesome. Now there's so much to score. There's trouble in paradise, trouble in cheese land up there, cheese paradise. It was so great to see, you know, because for so long they've stuck it to us for how many years, and here now they're imploding, firing their head coach. You know, now what are they going to do? You know, they got rid of Ha Ha Clinton Dix. They got rid of Montgomery earlier. It was beautiful to watch them imploding. And I tell you what, fewer things make me happier than when the Packers lose or in disarray. And I'll tell you what, I was extremely, extremely happy.
Yeah, we have a rule in our house with my sons that there's certain things that in life we just don't root for, and you're not allowed to ever root for the Packers. You're never allowed to root for the Pistons. You're never allowed to root for U of A. And as long as we follow those rules, Dad will keep a roof over your head and you can eat freely in the refrigerator. Any one of those things change, and you're on your own, dude. I don't know what to tell you at that point. I know you're young, but you better start fending for yourself. Go find a box car or something. But we don't do that at the Richardson house. But
you're raising them right, I see. You're raising them right.
Although there is one thing I will tell you, so I'm going to let you get out of here. I can't get them to break. They put ketchup on the freaking hot dog, and every time I see it, it just sends this pain down me where I keep looking at them saying, I know I'm raising you in Arizona, but son, you don't put ketchup on the hot dog ever. Break it.
You know what? It's a Chicago thing, man. If you're not engulfed, immersed in that culture here, you know, they see their friends who do it. They see other people do it. Why not, Dad? I could do it. Everyone's cool. All the cool kids are doing it. We can let that slide, bro. As long as you got the Green Bay thing down and the Piston thing down, I can let that slide. No problem.
Yeah, I told my wife I'm going to throw all the ketchup out of the house here pretty soon. I'm like, you know, if French fries are good, you don't even need ketchup for those. I took them to Chicago. They tried Chicago dogs. They loved them. I told them there's no ketchup on them, so they chose to eat them plain, which is still fine. But this ketchup thing, Sean, is killing me. It just makes me cringe every time they reach for that ketchup bottle and I see a hot dog. But, hey, listen, man, I'm glad you took a couple minutes to catch up with me and kind of make sense of what's going on in Chicago. I have two teams. I cover the Suns. And they're a dumpster fire. I root for the Bulls, and they're struggling. I don't know what to do. It's a good thing I cover the Sun Devils because I couldn't get the Sun Devils have more basketball wins than the Bulls or the Suns. What? I'm struggling down
Man.
Here.
Well, you know what? We might get a few more wins with the Bulls once everyone gets back healthy, but not very many more.
You know, the one thing, too, and I talked to a couple guys down here that went to DePaul and went to University of Illinois, and when I do this, I definitely want to bring you back on. What happened to DePaul and the University of Illinois? All that talent never left the state. Now they all leave the state. What happened to those two schools?
Let me know when you're ready, dude. I can give you a succinct answer. I can give you a succinct answer, and then we can expound on it later. They lost the pipeline to the city.
Well,
they
you know
lost,
what?
And we can go in depth. We go in depth at another time, but that's it. In a nutshell, they lost the pipeline to the city. When you do that to the public league, I'm sorry, when they lost the pipeline to the Chicago Public League, when you do that, the Cliff Andersons, the Jabari Parkers, the Jahlil Okafors, all these kids, they go to Kentucky, they go to Duke, they go to Kansas, they don't go to Illinois, they don't go to DePaul.
It's sad. It's I will definitely give you a call because I'm doing a whole deal on that, and I've talked to some guys who said they've tried to go back to Illinois and help, or they've tried to go back to DePaul and help, and they've been turned down by the administration. So I'm definitely going to get that out, and I'll definitely give you a call to follow up on that. Tell everyone where your show is and how they can check you out every day, please.
Yeah, you can check me out. I'm on 9 a.m. to noon, Central Standard Time. Right now we're on Facebook Live, which we stream live. We have an app. It's on the Logic Media Group. You download that app. It's free on iTunes and Android. And just once you go in there, it'll say you can find Sean and Maya in the morning every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. And as I said, Facebook Live, do us a favor, like us on Facebook. You can watch us, me and Maya, have a blast. You know, when you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life. And I'll tell you, those 3 hours that we're on, it's not work. It's just hanging out with my co-host and my girl Maya, talking smack. That's all it is.
Yo, man, I appreciate it, and we definitely will catch up soon. And I'll be watching the Bulls as usual on my league pass, and I'll be thinking about what you said, waiting for this talent, and seeing if we can. First one of my teams to 10 victories. I'm going to go out. We'll see which one it'll be first.
It'll be the Bulls, trust me. But they won't get much more than that. They'll get maybe 25 wins, maybe 30. But once that happens. So good times are better. Put it this way. Better times are coming for our Bulls. Not good, just better.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, I appreciate you calling, and I'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Bubba. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you later. The one, the only, you know, I'm the co-host of the Sean and Maya in the Morning Show in Chicago. I appreciate you joining us here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. It's tough, man. It's tough. I'm a Bull, and they have won all of five games. I'm a Suns fan. They won all of six games.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
You know I'm about to talk about Suns, right? And there's nothing positive to say today. There is nothing positive to say. Tell you at home, the Phoenix Suns lost by 17 points to the Sacramento Kings, and it wasn't even that close. They lost by 17 points, and that's without scoring the Kings by 15 points in the fourth quarter. This game was over after the first quarter. Halftime, you know, like at halftime, everyone goes to the game sessions, then it being somewhat full again. That didn't happen. I think everyone either got in a car, an Uber, or a Lyft and left at halftime. The Suns were down 36-9 at the end of the first quarter. And there was no effort. There was no fight. Yeah, and don't give me they're playing without Booker. They're playing without Warren. There was no fight. And here's the thing. It's coming. A theme now. That there is no fight. That's becoming part of the call. We need more effort. The Suns have to have more effort. How is that possible at this point? How you can't come out with effort? When you have your head coach saying, we lost the game in the first quarter, and from there it was just competing to show we had character, which we did in the second half, No excuses. The effort wasn't there. Kidding me? You know, this is not the first time that the Suns have said, we need to play with more effort. We need to play with more effort. We play with more effort. If your shots aren't falling, play defense. Josh Jackson, there are nights where you're not going to make shots. There are going to be times like that. But we have to make sure we play good defense and not let other teams score. There is no reason to not come out and put forth an effort to win every single game. There is no reason not to drive to the hole. There is no reason not to figure out certain things. I'm trying to figure out, can they not even throw entry passes to DeAndre Ayton? How is it that hard to throw an entry pass to a 7'1" guy? Look, I'm one of the guys that said DeAndre Ayton will play better. Effort will be better. I said that the game has not passed up big men. Do not take Luka Doncic. You'll be nuts if you don't take DeAndre Ayton. Well, now I'm waiting for him to prove me right. Effort has to be there. You're not getting maximum effort out of the number one player in the draft on a consistent basis. That you just can't have. The fire under a team that's coming out with no effort. Is it Igor Kokoskov? Is it James Jones? Who is it? This isn't the first time we've heard no effort. We need more effort. No effort. We need more effort. The effort. We're about 25 games into the season. 25 games into the NBA season. And the Suns are effectively done. And I keep hearing these dumb, tank for this person, tank for that person. It's been 8 years. Who are you tanking for now? And let me tell you something. When you're bad, it's not tanking. That wasn't a tanking deal last night. The San Antonio Spurs are technically 18th seed. Wait, what? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. They're the 14th seeded team in the West. And even as a 14th seeded team in the West, they're 2 games out of the 8th seed. 2 games back. And that is the entire conference. It's either in the playoffs or right there. The Denver Nuggets are 3.5 games up on the 8th seed. 4 games up on the 9th seed. They're only 5 games up on the San Antonio Spurs. They're 12.5 games up on the Suns. the Suns have effectively played themselves out of being competitive season. We're starting to think, wow, no one thought the Suns were making the playoffs. And I'm being honest. I even said, you know what, go get your big man now and find your point guard in the next draft when it came to Luka Doncic. And I'm starting to think I was 100% wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but I'm starting to get some glimmers that I may have been. Because one thing I've noticed from watching Dallas play, this kid competes every night. This kid competes every possession. This kid, there's no moment that's too big for him. And I don't know if DeAndre Ayton isn't competing every night because of any other reason that it doesn't look like all of his teammates are competing every night. You've got to compete. And we just keep it on, well, we didn't come out with the effort. We didn't match their effort. Why? That's the question. That's the question. Why? Why is that effort not being met? You could bring in another star. Look, let's just go to the Suns roster because I think this speaks more of culture than anything else. And as sad as it is for me to say, because I've already said, I am a homer for this team. I know that I covered sports, and I will always do it down the line. I will always be neutral when it comes to certain things. But then if I take that hat off and go as a fan, then you have to say, what is this team doing? What are they giving me? But when you put that hat back on, you have to say, look, I'm looking at this roster, and I'm being really honest with this roster. Ryan Anderson, he won games down in Houston. Ariza, he won games down in Houston. He's an NBA champion with the Lakers. DeAndre Ayton played for U of A. They won. Devin Booker went to Kentucky. They won. Mikal Bridges, Villanova, won a title. Jamal Crawford, been on many teams. Josh Jackson went to Kansas. They won. T.J. Warren went to NC State. They won. All these guys come from a tradition of winning. But then when they get to Phoenix, then they're losing. And the effort is gone. And I'm not accusing everyone that I just named of not playing with effort individually. But collectively, this team isn't playing with effort. And you have to start to think, maybe it's not them. Because if all these guys come from winning programs or winning organizations and they come here, it's here the problem. Is the culture here the problem? And I think that's what we have to stop and ask ourselves. In Phoenix, so bad and such a losing culture that it's developed to a losing culture that even if you come from success, losing is almost expected. Sean Sierra, co-host of Deshaun and Maya in the Morning Show in Chicago. Thank you for joining. Callers, thank you for calling as well. All calls were made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Follow us on Twitter at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. Cave is always with the K. Website, sportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with the K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Tomorrow we have Carlos Brooks, former member of the Phoenix Cardinals. I say Phoenix Cardinals. How old am I? The Arizona Cardinals. Actually, I think when he played for them, they were the Phoenix Cardinals. But I ask him that. But former Arizona Cardinal Carlos Brooks will be joining us tomorrow here on the Cave Show. Until then, please have a good hump day. Know tomorrow's Friday's Eve, and know the Cave Show will be back. Until then, everyone, enjoy. Have a great night. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show.